So Jacob Rothschild passes away. We all know about the Rothschilds and what their family was invested in setting up the entire monetary system that we now know and use. And there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, constitutionally speaking, right? You guys can see I've got the Constitution as a banner behind my head for a reason. Constitutionally speaking, states are allowed to coin money, but not a private entity, not a quasi-governmental entity like the Federal Reserve. So they're just creating debts upon debts. Something's going to have to give. It's unsustainable. You cannot just keep printing and printing and printing more money and think that it's going to have value. It doesn't work that way.
Hey friends, welcome back. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGT Report. Do you want the good news or the bad news first? Well, the good news is the world is waking up to what Zionism is and who's behind it. That's the good news. The bad news? Well, our government has been hijacked by Zionists and it no longer serves we the people. The same is true for Western governments all over the planet. So we're left with a very difficult decision and an action plan that we should all embrace, which is opting out. To that end, my friend James Tracy is back. Thanks so much for tuning in, friends. Before we start, a quick word about our sponsor. We've told you the truth about the destruction and the demise of the US dollar and its purchasing power on this channel for more than a decade. So how do you feel about leaving your money in the bank? Not great, right? It's losing value every single day because it's being debased. So if it's stressing you out, why not invest smarter with Noble Gold Investments? Precious metals are simple and real, tangible wealth. And by the way, gold just broke a new all-time high in USD. There isn't a company on the stock market that was around 2,000 years ago, but guess what? Gold was. It's a reliable, dependable, and authentic way to protect your wealth. That's why you can't go wrong with precious metals. They always have your back. Noble Gold Investments is the same. Their American-based experts will show you how to set and forget your IRA or 401k. Now, there's no guarantee of any kind with any investment, so do your own due diligence, but you'll get a dedicated professional assigned to you from Noble Gold. So no hassle, no call centers. This month, Noble Gold Investments is giving a free quarter-ounce gold standard coin with every qualifying IRA investment. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to claim your gold coin. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGT Report. Guys, have you had enough? I mean, the fix is in. Everybody can see it. The normies are even waking up. And as our government continues to be hijacked, in fact, it's much worse than being hijacked. It feels like we all have, what is that called, James, when you have, you learn to love your captors?
Stockholm Syndrome?
Yeah. Friends, it feels like we all have Stockholm Syndrome at this point. I mean, we have a hijacked government, and I guess either you learn to love your captors or you fight back. And I think we're about to see people fight back because people have had quite enough. I've got my good friend James Tracy back on the line. Today, we're going to share some life hacks and the truth about AIPAC and the total control of our government. James, welcome back. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How about you, Sean? It's been a while. It's been too long.
Yeah, it's been too long, brother. How's the family?
The family is good. Thankfully, everybody's healthy. We're finally getting into spring, some sunshine. So let's get this warmer weather. We're all ready to get outside. We're tired of being cooped up inside.
Well, just wait till lockdown 2.0 comes and they have boogeyman virus. It gets people all riled up. You know, they're working on that Disease X vaccine, and the Japanese are warning about it. The factories for the new Disease X vaccine are being built as we have this conversation in Japan, and the technology is anything but safe. The technology is deadly, and there's people in Japan sounding the alarm, James.
Did we learn nothing?
No, exactly.
The first time around? Did we learn? I mean, what I can't understand is, did we as the American people, did we just go, oh, good, hey, we're back to normal. Things are back to normal. We can just relax and we can forget about all of this stuff. Did we learn nothing from the first time that they did this garbage? And now we're seeing the signs and the writings on the wall, and we're just going to sit back and take it. I know you're going to see a lot more pushback than what there was the first time.
Yeah.
But I think I told you this, Sean, I travel quite a bit for my job, and You know, it's amazing to me how simply or how simple people capitulate to perceived authority. You know, when I'm walking through the airport and through the security and, "Is this your bag, sir? Is all I need to take a look inside?" They start going through all of your personal stuff and you're just sitting there like, you know, and all that's going through my head is like, "Man, where's your warrant, dude?" You know, thankfully it hasn't happened to me. Last time it did happen to me, the only reason why I didn't put up a stink is because I was in a hurry. And that's what I think that's the problem I think that we as an American people have gotten to, is that we're in too much of a hurry all the time. It's like that country song from Alabama. You ever hear about that group? "I'm in a hurry and don't know why."
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're always in a hurry. And so because we're in such a hurry, we're refusing to assert our God-given rights. And in the courts, you guys have heard me, those of you who follow my podcasts and seen my YouTube channel videos, you know that if you don't assert your rights timely, you waive them. So you've got to stand up and assert your rights. And I don't know, Sean, I think the Japanese are, I mean, rightfully so, one of the smartest countries on the planet for a reason. And if they're sounding the alarm, we better listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the other thing. The reason that people are running around like chickens with their heads cut off and rushing around and feeling like you just described all the time is because they have debased our currency and our purchasing power. So people are struggling to make ends meet, and it's waking up a lot of people. It's all over TikTok. No wonder they want to ban TikTok. I mean, the fact mm-hmm. of the matter is people are feeling really desperate. Meanwhile, the puppet in chief, this, I don't even have adjectives that aptly describe how evil this man is, but he wants a 44.6% capital gains tax with the hopes of raising $4.2 trillion, something like that, over 10 years. I mean, what's the point, James? We go another $2+ trillion in debt every year. In fact, the number I think is even worse than that. It's $1 trillion in new debt every 100 days. So, oh, and on top of that, this demon in chief wants a 25% unrealized gains tax. That means for investors who have put their capital at risk in, say, a stock, and the stock has appreciated, you know, let's say your stock doubles in 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
These demon creatures want 25% of that gain, even if you haven't sold the stock, forcing you to sell the stock. I mean, it's just lunacy. It's going to bring down the country by design if they get what they want. So I want to share a couple of simple life hacks with the audience. I saw this today, and I think it's pretty much spot on. 5 simple life hacks. Check it out.
Life hacks. Number one, if Bill Gates is involved in it, avoid it. Number two, if Biden says it's true, it's false. Number three, if the CDC or the FDA says that it's safe, it is dangerous. Number four, if Congress makes a law to help you, it will eventually hurt you. And number five, if the media pushes it, it's a lie.
You know, I think those are all pretty much spot on. I mean, those are pretty much the big ones. You add into it the IRS and how absolutely defunct that organization is, how unconstitutional an income tax is. But I think she pretty much hit the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, she hit the nails on the multiple nails with one single blow right there. I would actually take it a step further. You know, she said the CDC or the FDA, I would say any 3-letter agency that's associated with the federal government. If they say that this is a true, you better take it as if they're saying that this is true, I need to do some research and see if really if that is the case, because chances mm-hmm. are it's not. You want to talk about the massive, I mean, and this is what it just blows my mind, Sean. I was scrolling through my feed the other day. I don't remember exactly where I was. And I saw it was two stories, I want to say from CNN or some, I don't even watch that ridiculous, the Communist News Network. One story was talking about how they said that, you know, the H drug that Donald Trump was talking about, the hydroxychloroquine. I got to remember where I'm at. I can't remember if I can say these things or not, but where they were saying this will do nothing. It'll make you sicker and all this stuff. Don't listen to them. Not even 6 months later, they issued another story that says experts say hydroxychloroquine can help people fight off this disease even faster. I'm like, So you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. I mean, who are people? You expect people to believe this nonsense? I mean, and it just blows my mind when I'm walking through the airport and I see on the TV screens, they got CNN going on there, spouting their propaganda and how they're so excited about the Trump trial and all of these things. And all of, you know, he's going to jail and this and stuff. It's like, okay, you know what? So what? You send him to jail. Then what? What have you accomplished? You've done nothing but stir a potential uprising for more than 80% of the country. And yes, the number is that high. 80%.
Well, I've got something else I want to show you guys. And I think it's very, very important, especially as we now see college campuses. And by the way, there's some weird stuff going on. There's some infiltration in these pro-Gaza protests. They're not all organic, in my opinion, but the fact that the weaponized, militarized police are moving in and attacking protesters, and they're quelling these protests. They're not allowing freedom of speech. They're not allowing people to stand up for the Palestinians. It's really alarming, and I think this gal nails exactly why that is. Listen up.
How much control do you think pro-Israel lobbies have on members of Congress?
Oh, I think they seem to own them. They seem to own actually all three branches of government and the fourth estate. I find it terrifying. Everybody should be asking themselves, why isn't AIPAC registered as a foreign agent? Why is AIPAC the only lobbying group on behalf of a foreign entity that does not have to have its lobbyists registered as foreign agents? Why is that? It's so they can give unlimited dollars. That's why. And so, you know, obviously we're being ruled by the Zionist state. You can always tell who's in charge by what you're not allowed to speak out against. So if I can sit here and I can talk about Joe Biden, no problem. I could talk about, you know, I could talk about my congresswoman, no problem. But you talk about Israel, then that's it. So that's clearly who's in charge. I basically have told AIPAC to bring it, bring it. I mean, call me a self-loathing Jew. You can do whatever you want to do. Like it's of no matter to me. But I will say to people who would like to defeat the concept that electing someone like me as an anti-Zionist Jew over someone like Debbie would be the strongest signal message that collectively we could send to AIPAC seriously. That would be like the biggest F you to AIPAC, because right now there aren't any anti-Zionist Jews running for Congress.
Okay, so I think, let's check this out. She says, Debbie, I wonder if you, yeah, she's probably running against Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who is a demon creature of the highest order. Mm-hmm. I cannot stand that woman. She stole her seat through election fraud, and it's just horrific. Anyway, I'm coming back to you. The Zionist control of our entire government, it's becoming increasingly obvious to people who didn't even know what Zionism was just a year or two ago, James.
Yeah. It is. She's right, though. I mean, and it's amazing, too, what you see. She's like, oh, yeah, you could talk about Trump. You can talk about Biden. You can talk about all these things. But the minute you start talking about Israel, that's where things start going sideways. Well, she's not wrong. You know, there's. I mean, when you look at it, right, I don't know if you saw this a while ago, but Lord, what was it? Jeffrey Rothschild. Is that his name? I can't remember these. One of the Rothschilds, he recently passed away at the age of 87.
Jacob, I believe.
Jacob, yes. Yes, thank you. So Jacob Rothschild passes away. We all know about the Rothschilds and what their family was invested in setting up the entire monetary system that we now know and use. And there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, constitutionally speaking, right? You guys can see I've got the Constitution as a banner behind my head for a reason. Constitutionally speaking, states are allowed to coin money, but not a private entity, not a quasi-governmental entity like the Federal Reserve. So they're just creating debts upon debts and more debts and more debts, and they just keep printing. You talked about this earlier, where Biden wants to institute these ridiculous capital gains taxes to the tune of 40 something freaking percent. I mean, when are we going to stand up and say enough is enough? I mean, at what point? I'll tell you, right. You know, what typically sways elections, what typically moves the public towards voting for one person and party over another is their direct effect on your wallet. And you're seeing it. I mean, I saw this story the other day, I want to say it was CNBC or something like that. It was just a snippet that somebody posted on Instagram or someplace like that, where the anchor was interviewing a real estate agent from somewhere who said, you know, the average cost of a home in the United States is now $400,000. And he says at today's interest rates, you would have to make $100,000 with no debts to be able to afford to buy that home.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't have no debts. Most people have credit card debts. Some have some car payments. Some have student loans. He said, if you throw that in there, you've now got to make $150,000 to $160,000 a year just to afford a $400,000 home. I'm here to tell you, Sean, a $400,000 home in my neighborhood, that's a pretty small home. I mean, and this is, and people think the economy is great. People think that this is wonderful. Have you not paid attention to the cost of bread and eggs over the last 2 years? Have you not paid attention to any of that? I mean, it's not sustainable. And so who's behind all of this? Who is pushing our monetary system, and who's pushing all of these decisions that are being made this way? Well, it's like the, what was her name? Jen that said that?
Yeah.
Zionists. They know, and they push financial markets.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it's, I want to say it was, not Putin didn't say this. I want to think of Stalin. It's like Stalin said, you know, I don't care about the votes. I care about who's counting the votes.
Right.
Well, it's the same thing. I don't care about the money. I care about who's printing the money.
Well, I've got something for you, and it's a bit of good news amongst the dark, stormy clouds that are enveloping our entire nation. But let me just say one thing about that clip from Jen, who is running for Congress down in Florida. She's a Jew speaking out against Zionists. So again, I want to make that point, because I bring on guests who often will say, it's all the Jews. And I like to say, no, let's make the distinction between Judaism, which is not a belief system I much care for in any way, shape, or form, but believe what you want to believe. Zionism is the entity, and Zionism is the death machine that's doing what's happening in Gaza to the Palestinian people, and to all of us, to everybody who is a victim of these printing presses of fiat death money, because that's what it is. You trade your labor for their fiat, then they debase the fiat so that you're perpetually poor. And that's what they want. They want the ruling class, and they want the poor. The entire people, anybody who survives the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine death agenda, well, you're going to be poor if these people get away with what they're trying to get away with. But here's the good news. Very interesting things happening in Oklahoma and other states. I got good news coming out of Tennessee as well. So Joe Biden is a traitor to America. We all know it. And under Title IX, he wants to force states and schools to accept men masquerading as women in the locker rooms of females, in the bathrooms of females. And Oklahoma has had quite enough. Listen to this.
I'll be really clear. President Biden deciding to rewrite Title IX is one of the most radical and illegal moves we've ever seen from the federal government. It's an attack on our states. It's an attack on our families. And it's an attack on our young women and girls. We will not stand for this in Oklahoma. We are pursuing all actions to oppose this illegal and unconstitutional move by the Biden administration. We have already instructed our districts to not comply with this illegal rule change from President Biden.
We will not allow boys in girls' restrooms. We will not put boys in girls' sports, he goes on to say. And James, I wanted to play that because I think this is pretty much your wheelhouse, you know, understanding our power, understanding the power of states. Here's more good news coming out of Tennessee. They have banned chemtrails. Okay.
Hallelujah.
It's an idea whose time has come. And here's another one from Oklahoma, because, you know, this criminal government and people like Elizabeth Warren, they're targeting Bitcoin. They don't want anyone to have any financial sovereignty outside of a central bank digital currency, outside a fiat dollar. Oklahoma's new law protects citizens' Bitcoin ownership rights. Again, states' rights. We the people have the power, James. It's our job, your job and mine, to remind the people of that power and then to inspire them to do some of the things you do every single day as a hobby. Frankly, you're a busy guy. You've got a big family. You've got a full-time job, but you're doing an amazing job on the side, helping people learn how to stand up for themselves lawfully, right? Using the courts, the way the courts were designed to be used. And to me, it's an inspiration, brother.
Well, I appreciate that, Sean. I mean, like I said, when I first started getting involved in this, you know, it was back in 2020 when the world, the crap hit the fan in the world. And we were just like, wait a minute, can they really do this stuff? I mean, at first I thought, oh, if we do this and then if you do that, then yeah, they can't. No, no, they can't. So I want to touch on, was that the Oklahoma governor or was that?
I think that might be the lieutenant governor. I don't know, okay. Because I just Google it and that is not the governor. Let me look.
No, you're fine. I just want to touch on what he's talking about there. What he's talking about, just so everybody knows, is a process called nullification by the states. So this is something that the founders contemplated during the Constitutional Convention. They said, well, hey, what happens if, you know, in their minds, they never perceived a tyrannical centralized hub of government like what we're seeing today with the federal government. But in their minds, they said, well, hey, what happens if this happens and the federal Congress passes a law that is in direct contravention and violates the terms and conditions of the ultimate contract, which is the Constitution, right? So when you start looking at things that way, and this is the genius of their plan, because they knew under contract law. So let me ask you this, Sean, can I force you to accept a contract that you don't agree with?
You can try, but I've learned from you and others that unless I've signed that contract, no, you can't enforce that. You know, and that's what they try to do every single day with so many of their rules, so many, what do they call them? They typically call these what? They're not laws. They're
regulations.
Regulations or ordinances or rules.
Ordinances policy. Or rules.
Yeah. You walk into a hospital, sir, you must wear a mask. Well, why?
It's our policy.
Law. Show me the law. It's our policy.
Yeah.
Our tyrannical policy.
It's a you're absolutely right. Nobody can force you into a contract. And even if you do sign it, I'm here to tell you, if there are terms of that contract that violate and shock the conscience, that contract is void on its face. I mean, we can have that discussion another day, but the point I'm trying to make here is the founders were so far ahead of their time that they knew this. They said, okay, we are going to get together. And because we, the people, have all political power and we're delegating that power to a centralized government to protect our rights, we're going to lay out exactly what they can and cannot do. And that's the beautiful thing of the Constitution, is it lays out exactly what they can do. But see, this is the problem that our government is in today. In their minds, it's like, well, the Constitution doesn't say I can't do it, so they do it. Well, that's the problem, is they're misinterpreting what that means. The Constitution is straightforward. It either says you can do it. If it's not listed, you are prohibited from doing it. So if they do it anyway, this was the great debate between Jefferson and Madison at the Constitutional Convention. And you can see this when you read the Federalist Papers that Madison wrote, where they talk about, well, hey, what happens if the federal government passes a law that is in direct contravention with the Constitution? What can the states do? Well, the ultimate thing was, since the 10th Amendment reserves the power to the states or the people respectively, the compromise was, well, they can just nullify the law. They can choose not to follow it. They can actually pass in their own state, their own state houses and their own Congress in each state. They can pass a resolution that says, we, Oklahoma State, will not adopt the provisions of this federal law because it violates this, this, and this. This is not an enumerated power that we, the people, granted to our federal representatives. So it's unconstitutional. I just give you a couple of situations. Refer back to one of the this wasn't the first landmark Supreme Court case, but it is a landmark Supreme Court case with Chief Justice John Jay back in 1803, and it's Marbury versus Madison. And it lays out, it says all laws, this includes ordinances, policies, procedures, regulations, anything that is repugnant to the Constitution is null and void. So if it's in direct contradiction to what the Constitution has laid out, you can ignore that with impunity. That's another case I'm going to give you, is Shuttlesworth versus Birmingham, Alabama. And that was a civil rights case back in the 60s, where you had this group of people who wanted to go out and preach on the city. And the city came back and said, no, you have to get a permit to do that. And they said, no. Well, they arrested them. They threw them in jail. They fought this all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court says, no, you have a right to do that. A city cannot convert a right into a privilege and charge a license and a fee, therefore. And the citizen can enjoy that right and exercise it with impunity. So we need to start standing up. We need to start saying enough is enough. I mean, when are we going to say, yeah, we're not going to do this? I mean, I really feel like this is the precipice and it's getting to that point. Mm-hmm. More and more people are waking up. I see more and more people going, I really hate paying taxes. Why do I have to do this? It's like, well, read it. Are you a taxpayer that is required to file a return? I'm here to tell you, Sean, 90% of the people who are paying taxes are not required to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. But because they don't know that, they don't do the research and they don't sit back and go, wait a minute, I'm not a taxpayer. Why am I forking over money to a criminal government that's just going to send it overseas and I'm never going to see it? I don't understand that.
No, you're 100% right. And I want you to keep going. But let me just push back gently and say the tyranny is now so bad in some of these blue states that they are disobeying the Supreme Court and Supreme Court precedent and Supreme Court rulings. I'll give you one example. New York State, or maybe it's New York City, but a man who lives in New York State is now being persecuted by these people for lawfully building a handgun on his own by getting the parts through the mail. He didn't know you needed a license and permission to do that in that criminal state. And now this man, a good man, a man with no previous criminal record, a man with a job, you know, who's giving back to society through taxes, I guess, if you want to make that argument. But now he's at Rikers Island awaiting his sentencing, which appears to be somewhere between 10 and 13 years, because New York says literally the Second Amendment, literally the judge told this man, the Second Amendment is no defense in my court. So don't bring it up. Literally, well, a black female judge said that in this man's sentencing. He's going to go to he's going to do hard time at Rikers because they don't obey the Supreme Court and the law of the land.
That's ridiculous. Well, for one thing, that's not a court that has any constitutional authority whatsoever. I mean, here's the thing is you can. And this is why I'm saying, and we were talking about this before we went live. It's like, I've been fighting the battles in the courts and this is what you're going to find. If you decide to take a case to a court, whether it's a local court or a federal court, you're going to find that 90%, maybe more, of those judges there are just as brainwashed as everyone else. This is what's so frustrating. They don't take their oath to uphold and defend the Constitution seriously. They don't. And that's why we are where we are. And that's the reality. It's a sad reality, but that's why we are where we are. So with this poor man in New York, he has absolutely every freaking right. He has every freaking right in the world to keep and bear arms.
But let me ask you this. So literally, this criminal, leftist, Marxist, African-American idiot judge says the Second Amendment doesn't exist in this courtroom. So how do we handle that? Because everything you're saying is true and accurate, except for these people are such lunatics. And because in states like that, the states are just gone. They're just lost. There is no more rule of law. Look what they're doing to Donald Trump in these show trials, these kangaroo courts. They have the enforcement, evidently, to be able to send this man to prison. So we now live in a lost dystopic banana republic, at least in some of the blue states, James.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's unfortunate because New York is one of the worst. California is right up there, if not ahead of them. So if I were in this man's shoes, which I wouldn't wish this on anyone, I would work closely with my friends or those who can help me. And I would get a petition for a habeas corpus sent immediately to either the state Supreme Court. Well, see, okay, here's the problem, right? So the United States Supreme Court says, even though you're being prosecuted and persecuted in these administrative tribunals, you still have to go through that process. So in his case, he's going to have to file a petition for a writ of habeas corpus, which basically is, hey, this man is being held against his will unlawfully. He was exercising a right. The state took a right and converted it into a crime. There's plenty of Supreme Court precedent to say you can't do that. I need this man out of jail. So he's got to get a habeas corpus petition sent to to New York State Supreme Court. If they don't do anything about it, then he can file that petition to the United States Supreme Court and get it overturned there. So that's the, I'm seeing some good things coming. Thankfully, there are decisions coming from the Supreme Court recently that are saying, you know, this, because this process is called the Chevron doctrine. You may have heard that, or you may not have, but look it up afterwards. You can see what I'm talking about. But this doctrine was the doctrine known that where the everyday man and woman had to go through the entire administrative court process and exhaust all administrative remedies first before they could go back and seek their judicial remedies through a writ of habeas corpus or a writ of mandamus, or there's any other different types of writs out there. The Supreme Court is saying, no, enough is enough. They're starting to make the it hasn't officially been abolished or overturned, but the decisions that are coming from the Supreme Court recently are leaning towards that they're going to get rid of it, which is good for us, because yeah. Then that allows us, like, you know, if you're being hauled into an administrative court without your due process, no verified complaint in front of the court has no subject matter jurisdiction, you can simply say, you got the wrong guy. Plain and simple. You guys did not follow the rules that are in place to protect my due process rights. And because you didn't do that, the court now has no jurisdiction in this matter. Same thing in this guy's case here. Conviction can be overturned. Simple.
Well, okay. That's good news. And I pray that that thing is overturned. But in the meantime, this man has already spent time at Rikers. And now I guess he's waiting sentencing at Rikers. So they want to lock him up at Rikers for more than a decade. Meanwhile, they will catch and release actual criminals, immigrants, illegals that are stabbing people, that are attacking police officers, and they go unprosecuted in the banana republic known as New York State. It's pure insanity. And James, I wanted to ask you, because, you know, I've had Brent Johnson on the show and retired Dr. KL on the show talking about the tax code, talking about the communist IRS and the unconstitutional tax collection system. And I also talked in some detail about property taxes, the insidious nature of property taxes with Brent Johnson. Mm-hmm. And it's very complicated to extricate yourself from property taxes, but as Brent explained it, it can be done. I know you're tackling that in your neck of the woods, and I take my hat off to you for doing that, because A, it's a lot of work. B, it's probably a pain in the butt, but C, it needs to be done because the insidious nature of property tax is such that as they debase the dollar, everything inflates in price. So as your dollars purchase less, your property taxes continue to increase because they say your home value has gone up, even though in a market like this, you really can't sell it. If your home's worth $1 million and interest rates are 7%, good luck finding a cash buyer with $1 million. Look at the sales on, look at the real estate sales, guys. They've fallen off a cliff because of what I just described. So, well, give us an update, property taxes.
So in my case, where it is right now is the district court judge. So the opposition filed a motion to dismiss, citing that the district court lacked jurisdiction, subject matter jurisdiction, because Congress passed a law that says the federal courts are not allowed to get involved with state tax matters. But the issue with that is that law relates squarely to taxpayers, right? So you must be a taxpayer. And this is the argument that I made. It's like, well, there's no evidence that I'm a taxpayer. The other side has presented no evidence that I'm a taxpayer. So how can this court grant their motion to dismiss? Well, it granted their motion to dismiss, and he didn't even give me a reason why. The judge just said, my arguments fail. Doesn't say why they fail. He just said they failed. So I have appealed the case to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. Where it sits right now is I need to get my appellate brief submitted. I got to pay the fee. It's $600, you guys, $600 to appeal a case to the appellate court. So the struggle I have with this, Sean, is like, I'm hopeful that I presented the questions in a way that if and when the appellate court says, no, the motion to dismiss is granted and there's nothing that's overturned, we're affirming the decision. My hope is that I've created a constitutional question, one that is such of relevance to everybody that the Supreme Court would say, yeah, this is a case we need to take up. But you can imagine what that would do. Just think for a moment how many Hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, are paid in property taxes every year from people who should not be paying them. Now, property taxes, just so everybody knows, are 100% constitutional and legal when they're applied to a corporation or to the assets of a corporation. Let's say, you know, it's Walmart, for example, and they have their building. Well, they need to pay property tax on that. That's 100% constitutional, and that's what it was intended to do. The problem that we've gotten to today is they've now taken that and applied it to the everyday man and woman who are not operating a business from their property. They're just living there. So you'll hear stories from some people where they'll say, well, it's because, you know, the technically you don't own your land and in fee simple or allodial title. You'll hear stuff like that as well. At the end of the day, where I'm at is I have a right to acquire, possess, and protect property. That right cannot be taxed. You cannot tax my right to acquire and possess property, right? Possess property. So how are you taxing my property? And how are you attaching what's called an ad valorem tax, which means according to its value, which is determined based on, wait, you ready for this, Sean? The number of sales that your business brings in. So I don't know.
Unbelievable.
I scratch my head. So where I'm at with my case is I am not hopeful. I wish I had more faith in our justice system. And I wish there are good, don't get me wrong. There are very good judges in places. They are just so few and far between that it's really hard to get a good judge. Really hard. Really hard to get one that sticks to constitutional principles, which is why I am hopeful for what I've been seeing at the United States Supreme Court, because I'm seeing more constitutionally sound decisions and justices that are at that level. But getting a case to the Supreme Court they take less than 2% of all the cases that are submitted to the Supreme Court. So,
you know, it's interesting, man. If you consider the corrupt nature, the wholly corrupt nature to the point where God had to just flush the toilet, right? Sodom and Gomorrah. Imagine going into a court and dealing with a judge in Sodom and Gomorrah. You think you're going to get a fair shake? Do you think that there will be a judge that will rule in your favor, in humanity's favor, when it could bring the whole house of cards down? I mean, maybe that's not the best analogy, but we're almost there in some of these blue states. They're wholly corrupt to the core. And I know you don't necessarily live in a blue state, but the judges, what judge wants to be the one who brings the whole system down? And
exactly.
It pulls the plug on property taxes, which is part of this whole pyramid scheme, this Ponzi scheme.
Mm-hmm. That's my point. It's like,
it would take a lot of courage, wouldn't it?
Oh my gosh, an immense amount of courage, which is why I'm saying is I don't think, see, and this is where this is my personal opinion. I think these judges, they want to rule in our favor, but the precedent that would be set, because again, every single court case that's out there it's open. Courts are open to the public. So it's public information. Anybody can go and pull the documents and read those and see what the decisions were. So if a judge was to hand down a decision that says, yes, what you're doing is unconstitutional, and no, they don't have to pay this property tax, I'm only one person. But there are hundreds of thousands of people who live in my state that are paying property taxes that if a judge came down and overturned it, imagine what that would do. And you're right, it would topple the system. It absolutely would. So I think this is why there are greater things going on in the background. This system is not sustainable, and it's not going to hang around for another 15 to 20 years.
No,
maybe
I don't see it.
Maybe not even 10. I dare say less than 5. That's just my personal opinion. Something's going to have to give. It's unsustainable. You cannot just keep printing and printing and printing more money and think that it's going to have value. It doesn't work that way.
No. We're going to collapse under the weight of these fiat printing presses and the military industrial complex and wars without end. And people are fed up. I know you've got a hard out, guys. James does this as a labor of love. He's got a real full-time job. So I got to let you go here in about 4 minutes, but just a Cliff Notes elevator pitch for the audience. If you had one of our audience members who is skeptical about income tax, but didn't have the courage necessarily to do the research you've done and has not opted out yet, can you just give us the elevator pitch about why income tax is wholly voluntary and you can opt out? And in fact, at this point, given a criminal entity has seized control of our federal government, it is your duty to opt out. elevator pitch for James Tracy.
So I'm going to refer you to a gentleman that I've listened to and respect. He has since passed away, but his name is George Gordon. He was doing this long before anybody that I know has been doing this, back in the late 70s, early 80s. And he said this: the Supreme Court has defined income, this is the key, income to mean the gains from or profits after you've taken out all of your hard costs. Now, if you think about it, right, because the income tax itself was designed to be attached to a commercial tax. So if I'm a corporation and I bring in $100 million and I have $80 million in hard costs, well, now my income, my profit is $20 million. So my tax would be on that $20 million. That is how it's supposed to be applied. But see, again, because the everyday layman, the everyday man or woman, doesn't understand the difference between a legal definition of income and just the everyday version of income, they take it to mean all of it. They take it to mean, so wait a minute, I have a right to my labor, right? Yes. So I have a right to be paid for my labor? Yes. But I don't have any profits. I'm not a business. No, you're not. So have you really made any income according to the IRS standards and guidelines? No, you haven't. So it's real simple. When you get that letter in the mail from the IRS, say, hey, we got a W-2 from you. Why haven't you filed? He's like, well, because I don't have income. Well, it says here, this is this. No, that's not accurate. And I don't have income. And according to the law, only someone who has income is required to file a return. So I didn't file a return because I don't have income.
Mm-hmm. Well, pretty it's interesting. Simple. Yeah. And it's interesting because at the end of the day, if we really break it down to its simplest form that any kindergartner could understand, it's this. If you go to a job, just over broke is what that stands for, every single day, and you trade your labor, your time, your energy for fiat dollars as the compensation, and they're allowed to tax that, they're taxing your labor, that makes you a slave. You are a slave to a system that has long, long ago thrown us all under the bus. James, can you remind people, how do they listen to your show? How do people keep up with you and follow you?
Yeah, you bet. So jump onto YouTube. I know I'm still there. I don't know how. Jump onto YouTube and search The Justice Revolution. I put out a podcast every other week or so. Try to do it as often as I can. It's been really tough lately with my job and my family situation. If you're on Telegram, my channel is Affidavits 101. We do a lot of discussions there. People can post their problems or questions, and I do what I can to answer there. Really the best way is on all the podcast platforms, just search The Justice Revolution. You'll find us. We've got a really good show coming up this Friday. We're going to be interviewing Dave Champion. I don't know if you know Dave Champion, Sean, but, he wrote a book about this very subject, the income tax and the myth around it. So we're going to see what he has to say, and maybe somebody you should consider for your show someday.
Yeah, no, I'd love to speak with him. Yeah, hook me up, brother. Okay, and in the meantime, if you ever need help paying some of these filing fees for this appeal you're doing, let me know. Let's get the word out. We could easily raise $600. In fact, I'd be happy to pitch in a couple hundred. All right, brother?
Yeah, so, it's not a big deal there. Like I just said, it's the fact that it has to be done, and I'm just like, So anyway, I appreciate your help, Sean. I really do.
All righty. I'll send you $200 to get the ball rolling. And is there a donate link that we can use?
I don't have a donation link. I feel like this, the fate of our republic is at stake, and I don't feel right taking money for information that I feel like people need to know. So I give it out as much as I can. And you know, for me, it's the whole karma thing, right? Just what you give out comes back to you eventually. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big believer in that as well. You've been a good friend over time behind the scenes. I should let people know that as well. All right, guys, our guest has been James Tracy. You can catch him. The podcast name is The Justice Revolution. Is that the name of the YouTube channel then too?
It is. Yes.
Okay. Perfect. The Justice Revolution on YouTube. James Tracy. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate you guys.
All right, friends, thanks so much for tuning in. I remind you every single day for free, check us out for free to get the antidote to corporate propaganda and all of those IRS, Mockingbird, mainstream media, Rothschild, fiat printing press lies at sgtreport.com. Until next time, friends, may God bless you and yours. Bye-bye.
You have to look at where Israel came from, which was the British Empire. King Charles is a leading advocate of depopulation. And he was there with Clash Fob from the beginning. The British royal family, the City of London, has a vested interest in Big Pharma. And that's what you're talking about.